You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
We're bullish on Las Vegas. 60,000 people a year move here. 22,000 households are created every year. And about 13,000 homes are built, including multifamily. So we'll be okay as developers. It's just, just challenging.
Ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in construction, real estate, and development? We pull back the curtain on the new home construction industry, the real estate market, and the trends shaping it all. Discover the stories, insights, and expertise behind the process of building a new home. Join us for Trust the Process podcast, and let's build something great together. Welcome back to Trust the Process, podcast where we talk about new homes, the real estate industry, the market, and everything in between. Have a little bit of a different look today. Still have Michael joining me, our resident expert with all of the good information. And we've gone to kind of a more remote platform. A couple of reasons we've done this. First, because it's not always convenient to get together. But secondly, we're thinking it'll be a good way to introduce guests as we go, other speakers that we bring in or other experts in other fields that we'd like to start including into the information and the podcast we share with you. So this is kind of our trial run. Though we have a great topic to follow up on. Previously, we spoke about the project that we're working on and some of the obstacles that we faced with permitting and making sure that it that it works well. And I can go ahead and I'll link that first one in the body of the content here. And then you guys can go back. If you didn't catch the first half, this is the follow-up. So update us on the latest, if you will, Michael.
Well, we had a thanks for the intro. And I always love being called a resident expert. I'll take that any day of the week.
I know. It's my favorite little interview.
Resident could also mean that I'm inpatient, and inpatient's like war. So, might be true. So this last week, we had our rubber stamp city council meeting where they essentially approved this subdivision that we've been working on for about 7 months. And that represented several meetings, that represented two neighborhood meetings, that represented, when I say that, that represents, meaning that represented the culmination of multiple neighborhood meetings, multiple meetings with my engineer. I meet with the engineering team every other week, and we've been doing that since about January, February. So that's a lot of, we're midway through the year. So that's about 13, it's about 7 or 8 meetings at this point. No, more than that. Yeah, probably 15 meetings at this point. So what the...
And then you meet beyond that, because you meet with them, and then you meet with us to download the team on the latest updates. So you spend a lot of time...
Each meeting's an hour, and then I spend an hour talking with the team, and I spend an hour thinking about it for the next week. Maybe they gave me something to chew on, and we'll kind of talk about that when I pull the map over, and we can show the audience what was technically fully approved. But it's satisfying. It's a very satisfying win that we got through all of these hurdles. When the parcel came to me, it was zoned for public use. It was privately owned, but zoned for public use. So think something like a church, think about something like maybe a rec center. And it was wedged between two residential housing developments, and it was only 2 acres. So it's not some massive site. It was wedged between two residential housing projects. And then on the other side of the street was more residential. It didn't have the infrastructure for walking. It didn't have any other draws. There was not really a ton of density in the area that would justify it being some sort of public use. So the owners of the parcel came to me in a joint venture and said, if you can get this switched over and pulled out of that public use master plan. So the city has a master plan, not a master plan community in the sense that we think of them, but the city itself has a master plan where they have every parcel zoned accordingly to what their vision for the city is and what they feel the citizens' vision of the city is, right? Because they're all elected officials for the most part. So, or at least the tone is set by the elected officials. So it's a big hurdle. The reason I go into that detail is it's a really, really, really big hurdle. to get something pulled out of the master plan. So we had to make a really compelling argument, i.e., this is why we need to do it. What do you need from us to let us do it? And essentially, we started with wanting to do a 23-home townhome community. We had a map for that. We didn't have enough common space per the city requirements, so we nixed the townhome zoning. The city was okay with that density. They actually want the density. We weren't able to get a waiver of all the other standards that they make every other developer do. So I thought that was pretty fair to say, if you could get that density in, great, but I don't think you're going to be able to without bending a lot of the other rules, and we're not prepared to bend those rules for you because it's going to start a cascade, and then every other major builder is going to come to us and say, why'd you make us do park spaces and roundabouts and things like this to get the townhome density? And we'd say, oh, I don't know. Why we let townhome builders do it? He's a very convincing man, the owner of that company. Very compelling. So essentially, we drew several maps up, and that was our first phase, was just getting in front of the staff advises the Planning Commission. Planning Commission are appointed or elected. And then, obviously, City Council is fully elected. So we start with the staff, and they kind of usher you through it and say, okay, we're going to be okay with it. We're going to do a staff recommend. If you can get those two golden words, that is, you're halfway there. If you can get those words, staff recommends, on any of your staff reports or kind of any of your documentation, you're going to have a far greater odds of getting it through neighborhood meetings, getting it through Planning Commission, and then obviously whatever Planning Commission and staff says, City Council pretty much rubber stamps. You would, and that's what was last week, last Tuesday. So that being said, we knew going into last week that we were going to be fine because we had satisfied all those things. So I didn't even go to that City Council meeting. I left the engineering firm that we hired to do the tentative map, and they advised us legally on some of the certain processes to get through those maps getting recorded. So I let them kind of handle it through and through, and I just got an email the next day. City Council had no problem with it. Notice of final action was issued, which essentially means get this map recorded once you get your civil plans done, and that becomes six parcels, a right of way, and some common spaces. So we're generating, I think, nine unique new parcel numbers, and then a public right of way that will be the, obviously, the cul-de-sac. So it's quite a feat. It's pretty rewarding to think that we took a hillside, which was an eyesore and a blight on the community for years, and odd zoning. It was just kind of this hangover of an old master plan that they never changed, right? And the residents didn't want it to be public use. The residents wanted it to be residential around them, lower impact use, right? In fact, when we went to, you have to send out postcards to a 1,000-foot radius, I want to say, roughly a quarter mile, to all the rooftops in a quarter mile radius with a postcard that says, this is what we're planning on doing, and this is the density really? We're going for and all that. Yeah. So we send that over, and we had to reserve a spot at the community rec center to have this meeting, and about eight people showed up from the newer neighborhood that were more luxury homes to the west of my parcel, the immediate western boundary. And there really wasn't any major pushback. It was mostly they were upset about the progress, the process this was going to take. And I told them to trust the process. And they called them. They were worried about the dust. They were worried about the bugs. They were worried about typical, you know, if you ever watch Parks and Recreation, the types of people that show up to the City Council meetings, like, I don't want a new park here because it's going to generate dust and noise and kids playing basketball and all this stuff. So you'd rather have a ditch there? You know, but the residents don't think that way. They just, they know what they have. They don't want it to change. So I get it. And we had already had staff approval recommended staff approval by that point. So I really wasn't even worried then. I would have been worried, let's say, if I were going from residential to public space, because I'm bucking the trends of the entire street, and I'm not being cohesive to what the neighborhood already has. So I think that being said, I didn't have a lot of angst. It was frustrating to get there, though. So originally, I had a 23-home plot or scheme worked up for townhomes. That was nixed. By the way, every time you do that, it's 2 weeks. So you apply. You send in your map, you say, we'd like to get this waiver, we'd like to get this, da, 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 and then they essentially have a week to review it. So you send it in, the deadline hits, so let's say it's a Tuesday, you send it in by Friday, They have a full week to review it, and then they have 3 days to get it back to you. So it's not quite 2 weeks, but usually you're not going to wait till the 11th hour to submit it. So you're going to submit it Monday and get it back the following Friday. So you lose a lot of time. And then you're at the you're beholden to your engineering team. Thankfully, I have a phenomenal engineering team. Jeff Thompson at Taney Engineering in Las Vegas is just second to none, and it's why this project happened in 6 months and not 12 months or 18 months, because they're just, he and his assistant are on the ball and the whole firm is on the ball. And I think that's why, yeah, pretty phenomenal team. So they also got on Zoom calls with the city of Henderson with us. I mean, they were there with us, and this wasn't a commercial for them, but I just couldn't have done it without them. And it was onerous. I mean, it was, like I said, it was several months of, okay, now the city wants to get on a Zoom call with Public Works and with traffic. And I'm sitting here going, there's 15 to 16 city executives over a six home. Well, at that time it was eight, over an eight home subdivision. And my engineering team is there, three of us. I think you were on that call at one point. So two people from Trust, three people from Taney Engineering, 15 people from the city of Henderson, all in a Teams call. In fact, the Henderson people were in a boardroom, remember? And then we were just on a screen watching them with our faces up there. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this seems like a lot of pomp and circumstance for an eight-home subdivision, but you had to have traffic pipe in and fire pipe in and sewer pipe in and public works pipe in and ecology pipe in and zoning and planning commitments. All these things had to pipe in on it. So I definitely understand.
Everybody gets to hear their opinion.
Yeah, it was wild. So that being said, I did want to kind of, one of the benefits of doing this on this format would be that we could kind of show the screen and kind of get an idea of what I was up against. So I did want to go ahead and show the audience that. So I'm going to share my screen. All right, so here's the site, and I believe we've shared this in the past, and I've certainly shared it on social media, if anyone follows me there. So this is Horizon Ridge. And then this was the parcel right here. This is a mountain. So we didn't disturb the mountain. We kept the mountain intact, but we also lost the square footage, right? So when we deal with the city, everything's about minimum lot sizes and minimum common area spaces. I'm sorry, we have two unique common area spaces and then six parcels. So we're gonna have a total of eight. And then this will be annexed into the right of way. So here's our cul-de-sac. We're in RS6 zoning, so minimum of 6,000 square foot home sites. So that was also the tricky part. So the smallest one has to be at least 6,000. So you can see we're kind of squished on this one because it's longer, but then this one's wider, so it's more than 6,000, but then you have minimum width that you want in order to build a product that's marketable, and then you didn't want this one to be too crazy. So it ended up just being a lot, right? It ended up just being a lot of work to go back and forth, considering we had about 15 to 20 different versions of this map. And then we would submit something and they would say, actually, we want this landscape buffer to be here for sure. This whole thing here is landscaping. Even though these are townhomes and you're going to a lower intensity, technically the books say you don't need it, but they wanted it because, again, we're taking it out of their master plan so they could pretty much tell us whatever they want, right? Okay, if you do it, we want this landscape buffer here. Well, then we lost 10 feet of lot frontage here, okay? We don't want you to mess with this mountain. Otherwise, you're going to have to get a hillside overlay. Okay, well, you can see right here, that's 21,000 square feet. That's at the half of an acre of hillside that I lost. I had just had to basically forfeit. Then they wanted this landscape buffer, which we understood, even though we weren't going from we weren't going to a higher intensity. We were keeping the same intensity as the neighbors. They wanted it on both sides, and then we lost 20 feet total here. We lost all the square footage of this common element here. And then, to add a little cherry on top, normally cul-de-sac, check out this cul-de-sac, Krista. Look how small and modest that cul-de-sac is, right? That's 87 feet, roughly. This is 100 feet from end to end. So then it just cut this whole thing up. So we lost another roughly 7 feet this way, and we kind of moved the street back this way to have 7 feet, so we were too short. And then the road, the little knuckle here, was 43. They wanted 47, so we lost more square footage on lot 6 and lot 5. You can see where we started at originally 23. Okay, then we'll go single family. Okay, I can do 10. And I'll do 10 RS 8 zoning, which is 4,000 square foot home sites. And I was off by 150 square feet on one of the lots, which was the whole reason why we could not go to 8. We had to go to 6. So it was pretty wild when you think back and forth of what was going on and what the conversations were. But this is the scheme we ended up with.
You planned for that. You've drawn these homes, right? You've drawn the homes to fit those envelopes.
Yeah.
And you've got all the utilities laid out. So when they take a home away or when a home site doesn't work out, now you have to go back to the drawing board. You have to redraw the house. You have to relay it out. All the utilities have to come in at a different port. I mean, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And it's heart-wrenching because you get, you think
you're
going
to start over. Yeah.
Start over.
Yeah.
So it's okay. I have no regrets. It's going to end up being a great project. It's going to be probably our, maybe a 2027 delivery. So we're going to be delivering that with some other early 27.
Yeah.
27 will be kind of the tail end of our West Ridge subdivision, and we'll probably be long gone out of Serene. So we'll be kind of, this is the way it worked. It just worked really, really well. From a timing perspective, I'm excited about the product. Would I have loved to get 8 in? Yeah, but they would have been smaller home sites. I would have been limited on my exit prices. I would have been limited on what I can do. And ultimately, we have to remember that we're luxury home builders. As much as I would love to get into more of the middle market, ultimately, we are luxury builders. And this is going to be a luxury product. This is our wheelhouse. And I find it, kind of comforting in that I know how to do the, I can deliver a luxury home, and I know how to make a luxury home profitable. I know how to make a luxury market, luxury project marketable and profitable. So.
And that area can carry it.
Area can carry it. If you look at a 1 mile radius, you hit $20 million homes. You hit $1 million homes within a 1,000 foot radius. I mean, literally the parcel next door to us is routinely in the millions. So. It's not uncommon to get, an over $1 million sales price in there. So I'm very encouraged. I would have loved to get to experiment and to take what we do as trust home builders into a more middle market product. And it didn't work out that way. Part of why there's a housing shortage are all these regulations. I mean, honestly, we literally saw it happen. Some of those regulations were just things that the regulators wanted. They're not even in the books. They're not even technically a regulation, but a regulator told me that they wanted it. And because I don't want to die on that hill, buyers like, no, we don't need a 100-foot cul-de-sac. Traffic didn't want it. They didn't care. It was a sewer truck that might need to get up there in 10 years. And he might have to back into one of the driveways to get out of there one time in 10 years, maybe never. Or back out of the cul-de-sac and back onto Horizon Ridge. The entire cul-de-sac till the end of time is going to be bigger now because of that one regulator.
Is that a standardized code?
There's not a single cul-de-sac that big in Las Vegas, in the metro area. This is going to be this is going to be 13 feet bigger. It's pretty wild. But because of that, we lost. I mean, like I said, it's hard to bellyache when everything worked out. But it's still, still kind of frustrating. So, mm-hmm. But it's okay. Everything worked out. It's going to be a great product. I'm very excited about it. I know the whole team's excited about it. The map, I have a notice of final action. My next step is to design the product that goes there. I didn't spend a ton of time. I drew about probably 10 different houses over the course of the last 7 months for that neighborhood, thinking, okay, if we end up with this, let me just get excited about it. So I'm pretty close. I'll probably find one of those, three of those 10. That will work in there, and it'll be really exciting. The product is going to be great. It's going to have a 2027 delivery, so ideally, maybe the market comps are even better by then. So I probably will end up being very happy with the way everything played out, I would imagine. So we'll put the best product that we can on there and do the best we can do to make it a successful project. So overall, very excited about it. Still. 23 townhomes. That's not in my wheelhouse. I mean, I can do it, but I would have been a little nervous. Do amenities start to matter more at that point? Do people want pools, gates? What kind of yard spaces are they probably not looking for? Zero, but maybe they don't want a massive yard or so, and then HOA. There's just a lot. There was a lot of things, but I wanted to do it just to get out of our comfort zone. It pushed me right back to my comfort zone, which is okay.
Wow.
We're okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a great project. It's interesting to watch it in real time unfold, where you think you have one and then you have the meeting and then everything has to change, and then you get it redrafted and you think you have it and then you go to the meeting and it has to. So it's just interesting. Every time the municipalities get involved, we're pivoting to, you know, to fit into the criteria or the expectations that they've set forth.
Yes. Exactly. And it's part of what makes it exciting, though. I mean, honestly, and it's part of why the little parcels like this are still left for companies like ours, because they're not easy to develop. Infill projects are not easy at all. Not to say that larger, big master plans don't have their own basket of issues, but these are not easy. And then you don't get the capital behind them that the big projects get. They're not sexy to Wall Street. You can't lump it up as a syndicated investment as easily as you could say, let's say, 100 home subdivision in summer. You know, that's easy to raise those funds and it's easy to pull the buyers. So this would be a challenge. I mean, this is what our business is. It's a challenge to get them, you know, to get city to see your way, to get the buyers to see your vision, to get the company on board, to get capital behind you. All of these things are challenging, but it's why there's not 101 companies in town that do what we do. So I'm grateful that it's challenging, and
Right. We're
ready for these challenges. We've had these challenges forever, so this is nothing new for us. It'll be interesting. We definitely earned our grit on this one. We've never pulled something out of existing zoning and done it, you know, to this extent before. So I would say we're about 30% through. The next 30% would be all the land development, the physical work, and then the last 40% the houses. So that's a funny anecdote to think that as a developer, when you see homes come out of the ground, the developer's already about 60-65% there. It's true. The buyer coming in is the last 1% of the equation. So when they're coming in and saying, this house isn't going to be done, nothing's been done.
Right.
The baseboard's still missing. Like, there were no utilities here about 6 months ago. You would have been camping. So I think a lot's been done.
We're third quarter of 2025 today. And you just said this will be a turnover in 2027. So for, before you get there stuff, we've talked about that numerous times, but this great example to really point out how far in advance decisions are made prior to the home actually standing.
Yes, and what was set in stone long before a market shifted, or long before we had any data on what that year would even look like. I don't even know where interest rates are going to be in 2027. I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine. A year ago, I would have thought we were in the low sixes, high fives. Yeah, didn't happen. Either way, we're bullish on Las Vegas. 60,000 people a year move here. 22,000 households are created every year, and about 13,000 homes are built, including multifamily. So we'll be okay as developers. It's just just challenging.
Yeah, it's not always kittens and rainbows. There's a lot of challenge and a lot of obstacles that we face. To just kind of pull back the curtain. Be plain about that. This is not what we expected. And obviously we have come to a place where we're excited about it and we know it's going to be great. But the pivot has happened again and again and again throughout is real. Yeah. So fair
it's
to share
true.
It. So thank
it's
you
true.
For being transparent
of course.
For sharing
yeah.
it.
Of course. I'm nothing if not.
And let us know how you guys feel about this forum. I'll be anxious to hear your feedback or to see what you guys think. Does this work as well for you or how could we improve on it? We work with so many great people, so many behind the scenes, like he was just talking about the engineer. We've got so many people that we could invite in to discuss other opportunity topics with. So hoping this becomes a forum we can do that in.
Thanks again
for joining us on another episode of Trust the Process podcast, and we will see you next time. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning into the Trust the Process podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify to stay in the loop with the latest insights, project updates, and everything in between. See you next time.